You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
She's got it. Second and seven at the Tennessee 35. There's a blitz in the wide open. T.C. Crosby at the 10. Five. Touchdown, Carolina. Touchdown, T.C. Crosby. 35 yards from Jake Medley. Medley. It lines up off the right hash mark to tie it up at 24. Snap it back, put it down. Medley kicks it up. It's low.
No good.
No good. And the clock runs out. The Gamecocks have beaten number 18, Tennessee, 24-21. Get the first ever win for Will Muschamp at home over a ranked opponent.
Walked in this party and these girls looking at me. Skinny jeans on and you know my head and me. Hey. Hey, okay. I want y'all to do this dance now. Juju on that beat. Juju on that beat. Juju on that, juju on that, juju on that beat.
All right, here's a question for you guys. DC3 tweets says the Gamecocks need a new hype song. What is it and why? And he follows up with, we already know the obvious answer is Eminence Front, so we have to dig deeper than that. So, you know, Eminence Front is a good call. I think that's a great song.
You're going to have to explain to G-Man what that is.
You know what Eminence Front is? The Who.
I know who that is.
Pete Townsend.
He knows who that is.
but it's the not a, I don't know that that's a good hype song. You know, Georgia uses Teenage Wasteland, which I've always thought was kind of weird. You know, the beginning and everything is really cool. So what do you think would be a good hype song? You know, Virginia Tech and Enter Sandman is like the most underrated entrance in all of college football. Got any thoughts?
It's something. You know, you could go with, I'm just going to throw this out here.
Wait, before you get going, let me tell you why we're talking about this.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I hate Sandstorm. I hate
it. Really?
Yes. Do you not hate Sandstorm? Do y'all not know that I hate Sandstorm?
No, I didn't know this about you.
Man, Sandstorm was rocking the other night, man.
Oh,
he was rocking.
God. So are y'all pro Sandstorm?
I'm pro Sandstorm.
Deeply ambivalent about Sandstorm. I don't have strong feelings one way or the other.
All right. Well, I hate hearing that Sandstorm is a South Carolina tradition. That's one of our traditions now, which is a little, I mean, that speaks volumes about the traditions of South Carolina. But what do you think would be a good hype song?
I'll tell you. I'm going to name the song, and you're going to think I know, but I'm talking about a cover of this song, okay? In Bloom by Sturgill Simpson.
Do you think the crowd would really get into that?
I think it would be like a deep, angst-filled, touching moment.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I was thinking Juju on that beat.
Yeah. Well, now that you say that out loud, I don't know why I thought anything other than that.
Anything other than Juju on that beat? Do you know what that is? Yeah.
It right now. Y'all can't see this, but.
That's what Casey Crosby did for his 15-yard penalty the other night. That's right. Juju on that beat. And, you know, what's wrong with a little LL Cool J? Some old school, you know, Mama Said Knock You Out.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all.
I think that'd be a fun song for everybody. So, yeah. I don't know. I didn't realize.
You remember several years back when we started trying to do a thing in the fourth quarter? What was that song? It's like Gamecock Rocks or something like that.
Oh, my gosh.
What was that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Something like that. So, if you,
I got a question.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all hear this on TV, but do y'all hear the rooster crow thing?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The third down rooster crow thing.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah. Do you like it or not? Are you pro rooster crow or anti?
I'm anti rooster crow. I hate it.
It's horrible. Nobody likes it.
I hate it.
Really? Yeah, we get bashed pretty good on Twitter about that.
About not liking
about
it?
about the rooster crow. So if you don't know what you're listening to, then that's okay because I don't know what we're talking about. You're listening to TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 92. I am Buck, and on Tuesday I will be reelected president of TRC. along with my running mate, the G-Man. We also fully expect T-Bone to retain his seat as sanitation director of TRC, the rubberchickensblog.com. And that's, I got to tell you, that's the hardest job there is because we're all pretty full of so.
Yeah.
It's a difficult job.
Then they should.
You're going
to
bleep that out?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go back and bleep that out, I guess. So when was the last time, and I actually looked this up. I know when the last time was that I felt this good after a South Carolina victory. Think back to when your Saturday night and your Sunday felt as good as this past week did.
I think it was Dylan Thompson against Clemson.
Ooh, you're going way back.
I was going to say when we beat Georgia on the 4th-and-nothing play.
Right. That's what I went back because, and that was 2014, so over 2 years ago. And, it was 2014 because we had been blown out by Texas A&M.
Right.
And then that game beating Georgia, beating a pretty good Georgia team, Todd Gurley and all those folks, it was kind of like, okay, you know, that Texas A&M game was just a bump in the road. We're back on track. We've got a good football team. Turns out we had an average football team followed by a bad football team in 2015. So, I mean, even the North Carolina win last year, I don't think anybody felt great about that. Vandy this year was fun, but none of us walked away from that, you know, feeling like, hey, wow, we're on the right track. This is the first game in over 2 years it feels like maybe we're on the right track.
Yeah, and I would say it's actually longer than that because where we feel right now is at the beginning of a tenure of a coach. And so you can kind of see the promise. You know, maybe during that Georgia game you're mentioning, we kind of knew it was winding down.
Yeah.
And we kind of knew that it was not going to be more than it was already. So I still go back to that when we were starting Dylan and we had such low expectations going into that game and we just whipped those cats.
Right.
That's kind of the feeling I had. I really went in thinking, you know, intellectually it was a good space maybe for an upset.
Right.
And I felt like, you know, we were improving, but we really played our first complete game.
Right.
So felt good. Felt good. Felt real good. Still feels good.
Now, G-Man, you were in the stadium. I saw a lot of folks talking about how it felt like, you know, 2013 Georgia or some of the 2014, you know, or not 14, but, you know, between 2010 and 2013, you know, some of the vibes around those home games.
It definitely did. I mean, of course, a night game makes a big difference, you know. For just the feel out there, the game, just being a night game really makes a difference.
Yeah.
And but you could tell early on when we took the opening kickoff and went down and scored, the fans got into the game. And after that, man, it was just it took you back a couple of years to when things were really, really good. So the fans were into the game the entire time.
sorry about that. I think T-Bone was like walking around and tripped and fell carrying his computer. What are you doing?
Oh, my gosh. DJ Smith and Chris Lamont's both just hit me.
So, you know, about the game itself, you know, like you said, we took the opening kickoff, go down for a touchdown. You know, I said last week that we'll just wait until T-Bone is
done. What is he doing?
I don't know. All right, you ready now?
Sure.
You good? All right. So I had mentioned last week that the defense scared me to death, and they played one of their best games on Saturday night. Now, this was a severely depleted Tennessee football team. You know, Jalen Hurd, who is now going to transfer, barely played. He's not nearly the player he has been. Alvin Kamara was gone. Josh Dobbs was horrendous You know, and some of that is on our defense. You know, I give credit to Will Muschamp and Tavares Robinson for putting together a good game plan. But, man, that was not a good football team we beat on Saturday night. It's a great win. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I if we can go in and beat Missouri Saturday and we're going to beat Western Carolina, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say that, and we are bowl eligible, that's a pretty doggone good season.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it.
So the who impressed you on Saturday night, Tebow?
You know, start right at the top and not say the obvious answer. I would go to the second most obvious answer, Rico Dowdle. I so love watching that cat play football.
Yeah.
I like, he just goes forward, yeah. You know? He goes forward and he's going to give an extra effort and he falls forward, the pile goes forward.
And he's got some shake.
A little shake, I was going to say, same thing. And some speed, you know.
Yeah.
That run that that 35-yard run or whatever that has been, you know, on the highlights. I mean, when have we seen that? It's been a long time. Maybe right. Mike Davis, since we've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Mike Davis had a little bit of that, but right. You know, Marcus was a straight ahead guy, and I don't know. It feels like it's been a while since we've had a running back like this. I mean, that, you know.
I just mean, you know, Davis broke some runs, you know.
Right, right.
And, you know, having a long run by a running back. Now, you know, Brandon Wiles broke that run against Tennessee in that game that, I mean, I kept thinking about that game. Speaking of Tennessee, I kept thinking about that game the entire time because I was there for that game too, 2 years ago, Dobbs coming out party or whatever. And I was trying to compare the two. And, you know, really it was all about the differences were on defense. I mean, that game, Dobbs ran wild, did whatever he wanted to do. And this game, you know, I think we figured out that we couldn't blitz him. So right. We basically dropped back in a zone, put a bunch of guys back there and just, you know, decided to see if he could beat us with his arm, which he obviously couldn't do. I mean, he made a few throws here and there, but.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like you said, a good game plan. I don't know how I pivoted to that, but I started thinking about that game the whole time. Like, when are they going to start like throwing all over the yard like they did that year? And it just never happened.
That's exactly what I thought about Dobbs. I kept thinking, okay, this series, I'm sure he's going to turn it on. You know, I'm sure. But man, he was throwing balls in the dirt. I don't know if you saw the stats I posted, but in the two previous games against us, he accounted for 556 passing yards, 201 rushing yards. You know, do your quick math. That's 757 yards and 7 touchdowns he accounted for right. In the two previous games. And he had 161 passing, 27 rushing, and threw 2 interceptions and had a bad, bad fumble. And was that fumble... You know, he goes to cock his arm to throw, and his running back is coming in with his arms wide open like he's gonna take a handoff, and just knocks the ball out of Dobbs' hand. Is that something that just normally happens to us? I mean, it is, isn't it? I mean, we don't typically get that kind of a break.
Right. It's usually us. Yeah. And that was a backup tailback who came in. It was the play after. I watched the game again last night. And that was the play after Kelly had broken off like a 30-yard run. And we were like going, oh, crap, here it is. Because we were up 17-14 at this time. And they had just run the kickoff back. We had gotten the ball and punted. And they were, you know, they broke off that long run. And you're thinking, okay, here it comes. This is the end, you know.
I know.
And that play, you know, they bring in that backup tailback. And, you know, I think he just a busted play. You know, very fortuitous, and then we go right down the field. What, 3 plays later is when they hit Crosby on the old pump and go, and you know, they
wouldn't it nice to see us do a pump and go? That, I mean,
yes, it was.
Oh.
I went back and I watched a replay of that play like right before this, and go back and watch that play when we're done, and watch AJ Turner come out of the backfield.
I know what you're talking about.
He got, I mean, he got clotheslined so bad. It was like a, you know, what's the old Burt Reynolds movie where he's in prison? you know, and he fields the football team, the Green Machine.
Right, the longest yard.
It was like a movie clothesline. It wasn't even like it was real, you know. I mean, the cat just grabs him and his feet fly out from under him. He lands flat. And I'm like, how did nobody see that? You know,
right. Because just watching it live, I'm like, hey, one of our guys just did a full backflip into a round off and landed on his head.
Right.
How
right.
is that even possible?
So, yeah, I think I tweeted to you guys. So we had a sequence where Jake Bentley had a rushing touchdown. We got called for a semi-bogus holding call.
Yeah. Right.
Wound up kicking a field goal. So instead of being up 21-7, we were up 14-7. They run the ensuing kickoff back. Make it 17-14. Yeah, it was 17-7. They run the kickoff back, 17-14. And I think I tweeted to you guys, does anyone else feel a soul-crushing loss coming on? Because
How many years have we played Tennessee? And I think I even texted you guys this. Back in the 90s, you know, the 2000s, that we would play Tennessee and we'd hold it close into the fourth quarter and then they'd just run it down our throats and they'd win it on the last drive, or they would run out the clock on the last drive when we were down by a score. And, you know, those games are still like that. The only difference now with our Tennessee games is, in recent history, it's been some ridiculous one-armed catch or something, but always in the fourth quarter, and you could just kind of feel this one.
Yeah.
Right on the cusp of that. And every time the cusp started, you know, firming up, Tennessee would do something boneheaded, and we would benefit.
Honestly, I think it was our turn. And, you know, the football god smiled on us. You know, last year we're driving down for the tying score and Jarrell Allen fumbles.
Right.
The year before that, you know.
One-arm grab.
Well,
you know, the year before that was the overtime game where we kept going up by like three touchdowns and
right.
they kept coming back. And,
right,
you know,
right.
It was the – I don't know if y'all ever – I mean, I'll never forget this play. It was fourth down and Bryson Williams comes in. He was one-armed that year. You remember that?
Yeah,
he couldn't
rap,
and I think it was Hurd. It's fourth down, and if we stop him, the game's over.
Right,
and he goes in and he tries to blow up Hurd, and he just hits him, and he can't knock him down because he couldn't wrap up. He was just the whole year he was just hitting people with his shoulder, you know.
Right.
Anyway, and so they get the first down, and I mean that game was like it was like four or five plays. If we make the tackle, we
right.
win the game.
Right,
you know,
Brandon Wilds. I remember. That whole year in the fourth quarter, like when Brandon Wilds had like that 75-yard touchdown run, it's like, finally, you know, we can breathe easy. And then they come back in like, you know, 30 seconds and score a touchdown. The Missouri game was like that too. We scored a touchdown to go up by a couple of scores. It's like, finally. And then they just march right down. And
I know. Let's don't relive that. But, I mean, but, you know, Tennessee's acting like, you know, they lost to us. But, I mean, every game is like this with them. And,
right.
you know, it was just our turn. I mean, we outplayed them. I mean, absolutely outplayed them the entire ball game. Now, granted, they made some turnovers, but, you know, those two interceptions were, you know, were good plays by King, especially the first one. You know, that's a great catch.
Oh, man, yeah, we'll get to Jamarcus King. I wanted to ask you what the when Brandon McElwain came in on two third and short plays – was the what was the mood like in the stadium at that point?
I mean, the guy behind me, who I talked to a lot, we were just like, you know, just let Bentley run it. I mean,
right.
Bentley's a great runner, you know. Why don't you just let him run?
Yeah.
I mean, and let me ask you this. I mean, McElwain, you know, he's done some good things for us here, but he's, you know, obviously not been great, but. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but every time he's coming into that package, with the exception of the incomplete pass that he threw this time, has he ever handed off to the running back?
It's been very rare if he has.
I don't think he has. I think he keeps the ball, and he does this little step back, and then he tries to go forward. If you're not like Cam Newton
right.
or that kid who played for Virginia Tech, what was his name, the big, huge quarterback they had for so long?
Thomas.
Thomas. I mean, those are the kind of guys who can kind of get away with that little step back and then they plow forward. McElwain's like 5'10", about 195 pounds. You're not going to do that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you know, as good as Bentley has been, I don't know. You know, I saw something today you know, apparently somebody asked Muschamp at his press conference, are they thinking about a position change for McIlwain?
Right, I saw that.
I'm like, dude, it is way too early to be talking about something. And I don't want to talk about that at all. I would rather see him transfer and go be successful somewhere else as a quarterback than see him, you know, switch to wide receiver, which is a position that he has never played, as far as I know. Who even knows if he could be a good wide receiver?
And I think the kid's a quarterback, and I think he's got a role here, and who knows what's going to happen. So I think people need to calm down on all that. It's just cut the third down package out, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't do that, take the red shirt off of Nunez and bring him in the game. Right. That's who ought to be running that play.
Is he still on the team?
I saw him on the bench.
Was he dressed out, or is he like full red shirt? Is he just like
wearing? He was dressed out.
Was he really?
I think he's clearly red shirting, and I think he wanted. I mean, the word is he wanted a red shirt. It was his choice.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I like that move. I mean, we're stockpiling some talent, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we really are.
So on the defensive side of the ball, two guys, well, three guys. One, Dante Sawyer. And I look back, and he only was credited with one tackle and one assisted tackle on Saturday night. He was in the backfield, and he was all over the place. I felt like every time I looked up, he was, you know, at the pile or on the pile or, you know, making Dobbs run for his life. He has turned into a really good football player.
He's a stud, man.
Yeah, he is very disruptive along the defensive line. And then you mentioned earlier Jamarcus King. Man, what a good football. Between he and Rocky on the other side, I mean, that's a good combination at cornerback.
Rocky, it took me a moment, but I got there with
Yeah,
him.
I wonder if you guys, it didn't phase you guys. I wonder if the audience would get that, but.
And yeah, somebody else that was fun to watch again back on the field was Jonathan Walton.
I've always liked Walton. He's
I thought Fenton came and did a good job for Rocky after he departed. I mean, he was the one who chased down Dobbs on that fourth down play, you know, where Jones gets the penalty for almost nothing.
Right. Yeah.
But Fenton, I mean, I thought he played well. I was worried that we were going to see a big drop-off in the secondary. I don't think we really did.
No, I thought he played pretty well. He was the victim of, well, one, what's the wide receiver for Tennessee, Juwan Jennings, one almost miracle catch, and then one that they overturned, and then the one at the end of the game, which, again, you start thinking, are they going to drive down and kick a field goal to tie? The ball gets batted up in the air, and, you know, he's got great coverage, and Jennings catches it anyway. So, yeah, I thought he played a good game. And, you know, Muschamp has done quite a job with basically the same guys that what are our old Lorenzo Ward and John Hoke had. So he's doing something right over there.
Well, I mean, the man can clearly coach defense. We knew that. And the defense, we did have some veterans. And there is some talent over there. It's not, you know, outstanding talent, but we've got some veterans and some guys who can play. And we have some depth,
right?
You know, in most of the positions. So, I mean, I think they just need to be coached and put in the right position, and they're doing it. And now we've got, you know, on offense, you know, we've got these freshmen, you know. I mean – It's pretty exciting to watch. I mean, I don't want to get too carried away. It's two ball games and we barely beat UMass.
Yeah.
You know, but it is, I feel like we are starting to turn the corner a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's pointed it out. Bentley, Dowdle, Edwards, Debo's a sophomore. You got Tyson Williams coming in at running back next year. You got a good recruit coming in. You know, on the defensive side, we got a ton of guys coming back. We'll probably get Sky back next year. Muschamp just said today the plan is still for him to come back and play next year. What's he going to do? He's not going to get drafted. He is coming off neck surgery. He's not going to get drafted. He has got to play another year if he wants to make some money.
The key for those guys though, who do what he's doing, is they got to stay eligible. Let's just hope he's doing what he's supposed to do. But No, I'm with you. I mean, we're going to have a lot of people coming back on defense and everybody coming back on offense. I mean, maybe we'll lose a lineman or two, but so what?
Yeah.
But the guys coming back on offense, I mean, and then all the new guys coming in, the receivers we have coming in.
Shy Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Trey Smith. All the Smith boys.
Yeah. And of course, Bentley. I mean, it's just refreshing to see a guy who can throw an out pattern and the ball just zips over there. Like the couple he threw Debo. Just, the ball just comes out and it's there. Yeah. You're like, wow. And he commands the huddle well. You can tell that he's, he looks like he kind of like Shaw did, just sort of commanding the offense. You feel very comfortable with him back there.
T-Bone, does this whole situation feel kind of Steve Tannehill-ish to you?
It's a little different. You see the energy out there, and it's a true freshman quarterback coming in halfway through the year. So you think that way, but it feels a little bit different because I don't know that Tannehill had all this young talent around him. He had some talent around him, but these guys can play together for two, maybe three solid more years, this whole core group. And so it feels a little bit different. But it is fun to make that reference and explain those stories to some of the younger ones that I have watching the games with me on Saturdays now. It's fun to tell them, hey, I remember a time way back when.
Right,
when
this
guy with long hair promised us a bowl game. they think the story's going to end with the bowl game, and you tell them about that, 21-7 loss in the swamp or something like that.
Yeah.
where we missed out. But no, it's fun, and it's fun to make those comparisons.
Yeah, the funny thing is he's not, and Tannehill didn't either. I mean, Tannehill did not like break records until his last year. His freshman year, he had games like Bentley is having now, 13 out of 23 for 157 yards. He wasn't throwing for 300 yards and four touchdowns. And, Bentley is just managing the game very well. He's making throws when he needs to make throws, and he's running the offense very well. So
they're not putting the game on him, which right. is wise. I mean, they're giving the ball to Rico and letting him make throws. I'll tell you what I do like is when every now and then, they'll just come out and start throwing on first down. It's not like they're shy about, letting him throw it occasionally, but they're not putting the game on him like George is doing with Eason.
Right.
So they're just basically saying, here you go, win the game for us. Right. Except in our game when they handed the ball off 5,000 times.
And Bentley will sit in there and take those licks too. I mean, he'll sit in the pocket. Take the licks, and it's impressive. I mean, it really is.
Well, he doesn't. I don't know if he has been told, don't you dare throw an interception. He has not even put the ball in trouble that I can recall.
Be careful.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there you go.
Knocking on wood over here. He's just been – and he holds the ball a little long. And I think that's why he got sacked six times the other night. But that's fine. That's better than, better than throwing a bad pick. So I don't know. Hard to complain about anything that happened on Saturday. So,
man, he's 15 out of 20, man. I mean, that's pretty strong.
Yeah.
A
lot of poise. Played well on the big stage. So
looks well coached. How long has it been since we've said that?
Yeah, that's the first quote signature win unquote for Muschamp. So that was a nice. Nobody's complaining about Kurt Roper this week. People may have bitched a little bit about the third down package with McElwain, but I think he's called a pretty good game. I'll tell you a couple of things. And I mentioned these in snap judgments. Number one, third and seven with roughly 3 minutes left when we had the ball and we threw a pass 9 yards for a first down to Hurst. Will Muschamp's history, that had you know, run up the middle all over it. You know, that was get stuffed for a 2 yard gain and punt it away and play defense. And, right. and they threw right. the ball. I'm like, I'm proud of these guys. I mean, they really, you know, that's winning the ball game. That's not playing not to lose.
Well, that's kind of like in the UMass game in that last drive, you know, when we were about to lose the game, we came out throwing, you know, and, you know, that I'm with you. I mean, they just decided to go try to win the ball game. And what about the first touchdown pass to Edwards? I thought that was a pretty cool play.
Yeah.
And a great throw, you know.
RPO.
See, that wasn't an RPO to me.
Muschamp called it an RPO.
I don't think it happened so
fast. It looked
fast.
Like play action. It looked like play action, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He can call it RPO. I don't think that was – I mean, he was throwing that ball all the way. He was not handing that ball. He was not running it. He was throwing that pass. The other thing that I was really impressed with, and the television announcers were baffled at the end of the game with what Muschamp was doing with, what, 40 seconds left? And we had 4th and 6, or was it 4th and 3? I don't know. It was a 4th down. It was probably a little too far to try a field goal. It was, you know, an embarrassingly close to the goal line to be punting the ball, but it was obvious we probably needed to punt. You weren't going to go for it because you didn't want to give Tennessee that kind of field position. So when they ran the offense back out there, I mean, the announcers, Gilmore and I think Jones. It's Mark Jones, were just – I mean, they're like, well, what's he going to – is he going to run a play? And I was like, no, he's going to try to draw them off sides.
Right.
Sure.
And you
– got nothing to lose.
Right. You got nothing to lose. And, you know, I thought that was a really smart play. It maybe it seems obvious to somebody out there listening, but I hadn't really thought of that, you know. If they jump
he's
off –
he's also trying to get 5 more yards, you know. You take the penalty, get right, back 5 more yards, right. Get them a little more room
to punt. A little more room to punt, yeah.
And then too, I don't know if y'all noticed this, but they punted the ball – and the ball is bouncing around, and Tennessee ran away from it. And one of our guys ran
right,
up, ran up to down it. Awesome. The other guys were like, no. They were like pulling away.
Right, right.
Just letting more time run off the clock. It was pretty smart, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, clearly, you know, nowadays, I mean, it seems like, I don't know why, but when years ago, you don't ever remember people going down the field with like 20 seconds to go. But now people do it all the time.
Right.
You know? And they almost did. I mean, they completed one more pass. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when they were completed that one ball over the middle on first down, we already said it. I'm just like, oh, crap, you know?
Here we go.
Yeah. But, you know, we got them. And that field goal had no shot. I mean, it might have looked like it on TV because of the angle they showed it from, but in the stadium, as soon
you
as
knew.
You knew.
Yeah. No, when it came off his foot, it was wherever it was, you know, whether it was short or whatever, it was dead center. I mean, when it got up in the air, I was like, dadgum, it's going. But then, you know, they pretty quickly said that doesn't have a chance.
That's right. And it was a fun little post game. I mean, people went crazy. I mean, the fans all hung around and waited for Muschamp to come out and all that. I mean, it was like a couple of years ago. It was the fans enjoyed that, and they deserve that.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the post game was when all the players ran over and jumped up in the student section, and then they kind of coordinated. They were going to run down and high five the students, and they've got the cameraman there watching the players run by, and you see, you know, Bentley come through, and several of the games I saw Ulrich Jones come running through. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh Cooper comes jogging.
I know. It is you know, bright purple Rams jacket.
Right. Yeah, we could use Pharaoh right now, I'll tell you what.
No kidding.
How about Ulrich, man? He is, I tell you what.
Did you hear Muschamp talk about him? I kind of got into that description. Muschamp was talking after the game, and he said they asked about Ulrich Jones because Ulrich Jones was all over the field the other night.
Yeah.
And he said, well, the first thing we had to do with Ulrich is we had to give him confidence that he could play football.
Yeah.
He said he'd been moved around so much he really didn't believe in himself, and we had to show him on film, look, you're doing exactly what we need you to do here. Your pad level's good. Your this is good. Your that's good. It sounded like they really had to rebuild that cat. But, I mean, he is massive.
What year is he?
He's got to be at least a redshirt junior.
Yeah, so we might have one more year out of him.
Yeah, yeah, I'd have to look that up. Yeah, he was impressive, and he's very emotional. He and LeMans are very emotional people, and I was so mad at LeMans the other night that I couldn't hardly contain myself. But you know, good on him. He apologized via Twitter, but I think before the game was over.
Hey, how about that ridiculous targeting call though? Ridiculous.
Yeah, but like I told you guys, there was no way that was getting.
No, that I would agree. There's no way they're going to overturn it, but it's just bad. I mean, there's no launching. You know, there's no intent to injure. I mean, he just had his head there, right, and the guy hit him. I mean, I think they got to do something about that. I mean, maybe give him a penalty.
Right. Yeah.
But don't kick him out of the ball game for that. That's just bad. Wrong place, wrong time, essentially. Yeah. They only call it in that instance when there's a bang-bang play over the middle on a pass play. They never call it any other time.
Yeah. Ulrich is a redshirt junior.
Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah, 6'5", 300 pounds. You know, yeah, if he can get it together, man, just a body that size, that's an NFL defensive line body. So, good stuff. How about you guys ready for some rubber chicken awards?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to go to T-Bone first. I'm going to let G-Man always wants to think about his a little bit.
All right. Well, I mean, there's a couple of choices, a couple of big choices out there. You could even go with a guy on the defensive side, but I think I've already kind of telegraphed what my choice is going to be, and that is a simple name for a really simple, hard-nosed football player, Ricardo Montalban Cornelius David S. Pumpkins Dowdle.
What position does he play?
He's a tailback.
Oh, that's Rico Dowdle. That's the
Ricardo.
Yes. I never knew his whole name.
I don't know if that's his whole name or not, but the David S. Pumpkins part is definitely true.
That's a question. That's on his birth certificate.
It's gotta be.
G-Man, who you got?
I'm gonna go. Can I give a co-award?
You can do whatever you want. You're the vice president of this outfit.
Wow, VP. I like the sound of that. I'm going to give a co rubber chicken award to our two wide receivers, Edwards and Debo, because I mean it's such a difference having playmakers on the outside, you know, and you know that catch that the Debo had at the beginning of the game.
The one-handed
that sort of started, you know, got us going, and then he was just reliable. Both of them were reliable. I mean, they caught everything that was thrown their way. They fought for the ball on some 50-50 plays. We've talked a lot about Bentley. He deserves a lot of credit and Dowdle, but those receivers, man, it just makes a big difference to have those guys out there. So I'm gonna give it to the two wideouts.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with another guy we mentioned earlier, because when LeMans went out, I thought that we were dead meat, you know, because I figured if Tennessee wanted to throw the football, they were going to be able to throw the football. But Rashad Fenton came in and played well enough on the other side. But Jamarcus King gets my rubber chicken award. Two interceptions. I think he got some national award, didn't he? Or SEC Defensive Player of the Week?
Yep.
Yeah, he has really come on the last few weeks and played some great football. So good. Good win. We got, like I said, if we can't beat Missouri, all the good feelings will go away. Missouri is at the top of the butt rankings now. And the only team that I think could take over the butt rankings, the number one spot right now, is the University of South Carolina if we lose to Missouri on Saturday. So hopefully we will not do that. Let's look at some Twitter questions. Gamecock Colonel, who is at Bourbon Bias, he's thinking about a bowl game, guys. And he says,
"All right,
is Birmingham better than Shreveport?" Here's the way I'll put that. if you're not talking about bowl games, then the answer is yes. Birmingham, there are parts of Birmingham that are really nice. Got some good little restaurants, all that. I can't think of a worse place to play a bowl game than Birmingham.
The Legion Field.
Legion Field. I've never been to one in Shreveport, but I'd be willing to go there before I'd ever go back to Birmingham.
Never going back to Birmingham. Never, ever, ever going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad memories.
DC3 Tweets says, is beating Michigan State in the Tax Slayer Bowl going to be fun or just another reason to test the limits of my liver? I'd say that's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Carolina Fan 5318 says, I was so tired after the game Saturday night. How do I build up endurance for big time games again? This sounds like a T-bone question. How do you build up your endurance?
It does. Well, you know, what I do is you got to take care of yourself. There's a whole regimen. And what I like to do is if my eyes are a little puffy, I put an ice pack on my eyes while I'm doing 1,000 crunches in the morning and get in the shower. And there's a whole routine you have to do with exfoliation and cocoa butter oils. And it's important to take care of your skin. It's quite clear to me that neither of you are getting this American Psycho reference.
It took me a minute, but I started, So, T-Bone, American Psycho, Carolina Fan 5318. Watch that movie; you'll understand. Just don't go out and murder anybody. Friend of the show, Kyle KB09 Gamecock says, "What would a tailgate with John Daly look like? 7 o'clock kickoff, not a noon kickoff." Well, I think here's the thing. I think it would be simple. I don't think it would be like a G-Man spread. I don't think there would be sandwiches and, you know, and I don't think there'd be a lot of beer. I think there'd be a lot of liquor. Yeah. And I think it would just be some brown liquor would be sitting on a tailgate. There might be some, you know, a couple of 2-liter Cokes there. You know, might have some pimento cheese sandwiches. I think there would be a lot of women there who from a distance might look okay, but the closer you get to them, the more they look like a prostitute. So,
yikes.
I think we could have a good time though with John Daly. It would be interesting, but very simple. John's a simple man. There'd be a lot of cigarettes there.
You wouldn't make it into the ball game though. You'd be in the tailgate.
Not a 7 o'clock kickoff. No way. Daniel Livingston at DPL1013 says the subtle nuances of unnecessary roughness and how it pertains to geopolitics. Oh, and Kathy Ireland. Daniel's made a couple of references to this. I think it's necessary roughness, isn't it? It's not unnecessary.
It is necessary roughness. It's a 1991 classic starring Scott Bakula and Ray Liotta. Yeah.
I remember Kathy Ireland's probably the best-looking movie kicker of all time.
And that's a long list. There's a lot.
There are a lot of good-looking place kickers in movies. Oh, man. Yeah, so I don't know. It's been such a long time since I've seen that movie, Daniel. I don't know how to – we'll have to think about that one and get back to you.
Sinbad's in that movie. So.
That's right. Whatever happened to Sinbad? whatever.
It couldn't have been good. Whatever it was.
Whatever happened to Sinbad? I hope it happens to Kevin Hart real soon. So
you're such a hater. Oh, you're a hater. Man.
Not a fan.
Don't like Sandstorm. Don't like Kevin Hart. I'm gonna turn on Jake Bentley here any week.
Easy.
Yeah, no, I'm a Bentley forever. Bentley four, the number four ever.
Ever.
Get it? He's number four. Dan Hallow Sweeney, Daniel F. Sweeney says, I'm terrified we're going to lose Saturday. Is this fear of impending doom justified?
Yes.
Of course it is. Here's why. You know, we've proven that we – what's the most points we've scored this year? Is it 24? No, what did we score?
28.
We scored 34 against UMass, didn't we?
We did.
34-28.
Yeah, 34-28.
That's right.
We still haven't proven that we can just open it up, you know. And Missouri's defense is going to be as bad as we've faced because they've got so many injuries on the defensive side of the ball. They can still score. You know, I think they'll be able to move the ball and score on us, and we can't turn the ball over. You know, we gotta move the ball. What's the word I'm looking for? Methodically down the field, consistently down the field. So yeah, I'm terrified we're gonna lose Saturday too. I'm not as terrified today as I will be like at kickoff.
Right.
Is that
well,
the?
They're gonna. They are going to. You know. Run the super hurry up stuff. It's going to be kind of like the East Carolina game where they're just going to be completing 4 and 5 yard passes at will.
Right.
And that's the way we're going to play them. We're going to give them that stuff. So it's going to be frustrating. I just hope that we get a couple of breaks and we're able to get some first downs and keep them off the field.
Yeah. Talking about, you know, it hit me on Saturday sitting here watching the game and my wife and son got home like 5 minutes, not 5 minutes of game time, but like 5 minutes after the game started and wanted to tell me about their day. And
family is awful. Family is the worst. I do not know why family thinks it's more important than football. I do not understand.
I don't get it either. I have to have probably 3 series into a football game before I can actually start talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And usually the folks in the house, it's like, you know, grabbing another beer out of the refrigerator. So, you know, it's not actual conversation. I'm really not fun to watch. I'm okay to watch a football game with you guys because
that's about the only people.
Right. Yeah. We talk, you know, football while the game is going on. So anyway, just an observation I made the other day. No, I love my family. I do. They're fantastic. Sam McDowell, friend of the show, said, "We won a conference game against a ranked team. I forgot what this feels like. What happens now, and what do I do with my hands?" Well, Sam, what happens now is we go on and we play another conference game next week. As far as what to do with your hands, getting them out of the front of your pants will be a good start. So you do that. And they're free to do other stuff. So we've been telling you this for years. Hands out of the front of your pants. That's it. I think that's it for Twitter questions tonight. We really didn't get a lot. I think everybody's watching the Cubbies and the
Indians.
That's right. All right. Anything else? You guys got any other thoughts?
We can still win the East.
That's true. And Kentucky actually has a shot at the East as well.
Do we need to run through the scenario where we win the East?
Yeah, I'd like to hear it. Yeah, tell me because I heard that, but I don't really know.
We've got 2 games left. We've got to win both of them. Okay, at home with Missouri, on the road at Florida. Kentucky needs to lose to both Georgia and Tennessee.
Okay.
So Tennessee beats Kentucky and Missouri. And then loses at Vandy.
Okay.
Florida loses to Arkansas at Arkansas, South Carolina at home, and LSU on the road. And Georgia beats Kentucky but loses to Auburn. Now, if you break all of those down, each individual one is not that unlikely. All of them together gets very unlikely.
Right.
But that would result in a 4-way tie between South Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Florida. And because of Georgia would be out of contention. So the tiebreaker then is head-to-head among the tied teams. Florida and Kentucky would be 1-2 against the tied teams. South Carolina and Tennessee would both be 2-1 against the tied teams. And then we own the tiebreaker and would go to Atlanta.
I'm gonna go ahead and buy my tickets.
Yeah, I think it's a done deal.
The game that I'm most embarrassed that we lost at this point, I've been saying Kentucky all year. Georgia.
They're bad, too. Everybody's bad.
Yeah, I mean, with Bentley, how many of those teams do we beat?
A couple of them. I think you beat Kentucky.
Yeah.
I think you beat
Georgia.
And you might beat Mississippi State.
Georgia ran the ball down our throats, man. They pretty much did.
Yeah, but they scored late. They ran the ball down our throats and beat us by 1 score. I mean,
right. They scored on that fluky kickoff thing, but
right.
I don't know what it is, but when Georgia comes to town, we just, I mean, something crazy happens. Like last year, their quarterback goes 27 for 28, and this year they had three backs run for 100 yards. I mean, something crazy goes on in that game lately.
And all they're talking about on the radio this week is how horrible the Georgia run game is. I'm like, did y'all forget what happened like 2 weeks ago? Because,
right.
You know, our defense isn't that bad, but. Anyway, yeah. So Jalen Hurd is leaving Tennessee. What's some other stuff that happened in the SEC this
week? What's up with that? I mean, he's a junior, right?
That's weird. He's a junior, yeah.
I mean, he's claiming he wants to transfer and play tight end or wide receiver at another school.
Right.
So you're going to sit out a year and go start a new position.
He just needs to go in the draft. I mean, and I'm not saying he's a high pick, but he just needs to go.
Yeah, somebody would take him, you know, probably in the late rounds. But yeah.
So what's the speaking around the league? A couple of interesting observations. I mean, Ole Miss. Think about all the hype, all the talent they've got.
3-5
Stink, man. I mean, they're bad football team. It's crazy. But I'd like to know what's the what's the banter like in Atlanta about the Bulldogs? I mean, what are they saying? I mean, you said their run game stinks, but I mean, generally, what are they? Are they giving Kirby a pass because this is his first year?
They're trying to. It's funny. There are anytime people start to really criticize Kirby, you know, they're like, oh, but it's his first year, and you know, Rick left the cupboard bare, and he's got to get his system.
4-5-star players.
That's what I will say their 2013 top 10 recruiting class has been ravaged by transfer and injury and all this kind of stuff. So, but to say that the cupboard was bare, I've always thought was pretty ridiculous. They've got basically the same offensive line this year that they had last year that they won 10 games with. You know, they've got a better quarterback. They've got, you know, they're a couple of stud running backs. They've got a lot of talent on defense. Something just ain't right. Something ain't right over there. And, you know, it's kind of strange. I think Georgia fans are trying to comfort themselves by saying he needs time. Kirby needs time, you know, to get everything in place.
I think we have a better coaching staff than they do.
Yeah, top to bottom. I think we do. Somebody, Jim Chaney. I need to go back and look this up. I swear I heard this on the radio this morning. His record as an offensive coordinator is something like 9-34. I don't know where he's been, but it was ridiculously bad as an offensive coordinator. I need to go look that up and see if it's true. Anyway, and Auburn, I got a buddy who's I've got several Auburn fans in my office, but one of them at the beginning of the season, he said he was focused on the election. And he wasn't going to pay any attention to Auburn football, and now that's completely flipped. He's you know, he's wearing an Auburn golf shirt to work every day. So,
yeah, and that tailback they have, what's his name, Petway or something?
Yeah. It's
like, where did he come from? I watched some highlights. I didn't see that game, but I watched some highlights on Saturday. That guy running over people.
Yeah.
And then I saw an interview with him, and they were like, you know, well, what's your story? You know, what's your philosophy? He goes, well, people just don't want to tackle me. You know,
and right.
That dude is he's a hoss, I'm telling you.
He is a hoss.
Auburn, I mean, you got to give him credit. They look like crap beginning of the season, and now they look good.
Yeah, they could – I think they could take Clemson at this point. I wish they would have had – I don't think Petway took a snap against Clemson at the beginning of the year, but, you know, they had like four quarterbacks play. So
right.
All right, big win over Tennessee, big game against Missouri coming up on Saturday. So we appreciate you guys listening in, and visit us at therubberchickensblog.com. For the vice president and the director of sanitation, we bid you adieu.
You ugly, you your daddy's son, hey. Hey, do your dance, ay, go crazy, ay, get freaky, ay, let's go, Lego, 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 hey, hey, hey. Okay, yeah. We knuckin' and buckin' and ready to fight. I got my cousin, he with me, and got Lizzie on the right, and I'm a DJ.
Detroit baby, and I don't know nothing else besides drinking and having parties and having some fun. I say, look in the mirror, what you expect me to do? I see a 300S and got the blacked out rim. I mean, I like your style, I'm on a whole nother level. If you compare me and you, there wouldn't be no comparison. Juju on that beat, Juju on that beat, Juju on that, Juju on that, Juju on that beat. Now slide, chop, hit them phone, don't stop, ayy. Don't stop, ayy. Don't stop, ayy. Run a man on that beat, ayy. Run a man on that beat, ayy. Run a man on that beat, ayy. Run a man on that beat. Now, do your dance, do your dance, do your dance, ayy. You ugly, you your daddy's son.